I'm Gab. He's Jules. Blue skies over West London, I like to think, because we are finally reunited. Holidays and travel. But guys, we have a packed show for you. So much going on around Europe. Real Madrid, Barcelona, City's comeback, Liverpool scoring 9 goals, Juve in Roma, Mourinho via Allegri, yeah. Bayern and Paris Saint-Germain dropping points. But we got to start. Because it's a bit, this is transfer time.
It is.
We got to start with Manchester United.
Yes.
They get their second victory in a row, which is significant.
This is good.
Away to Southampton. And then obviously we're going to get into Antony and Cristiano. But first of all, a word on the game, because he kept the same 11 that played against Liverpool. And I thought, okay, against Liverpool at home, you know, this is going to be a counterattacking team. I can see that. Against Southampton, I don't know. I don't know if this is a setup that this is the way he wants to play, although it obviously worked.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked. They had more of the ball, and we said he had to be a
marginally more of the ball. Like, was it like 52-48 or something?
Yeah, but more of the ball than against...
Oh, of course, yeah. When they had like 26%.
Yeah, 30%. And a different plan, of course. The long balls against Liverpool worked well. This time, they had more of the ball. You could see at times that sort of the Ten Hag way, like on the goal, for example, which is very, very well worked out collectively, goal and a lovely individual finish by Bruno. There's still a lot of work to be done, I think, in terms of the balance of the team, and especially when they lose the ball, and they will face much better team than Southampton, who, let's be honest here, are 14th to 15th and didn't really threat that much.
They've kind of gone cheap and cheerful now. They're looking for bargains. I think, obviously, trying to replicate a bit the Brentford model.
I just think it was the perfect game after the Liverpool win to keep kicking on and win again, basically.
I think what's dominating the headlines now, though, is the person who could be leaving and the person who could be coming in.
That's right.
Let's start first. Antony, as we record this, the Antony deal is not official, all the insiders say that agreement in principle's been reached. We're talking 100 million euros. For Ajax's right winger. Is this how you would have spent the money?
No, it's not. Certainly, I would not have put all that money on him, but I would not have paid 100 million for Darwin or 100 million for Grealish either. So I can understand that at some point, especially if you're a little bit desperate like United are and it's getting late in the transfer window, that you are ready to and happy to overpay and said, okay, we tried at 60, we tried at 70, we tried at 80, a million, 100 million will do. Here it is, but I think it's a huge gamble. It's a lot of pressure on him. I think he's a really good player, but he's nowhere near the finished article. There's still so much things to work on, and the Premier League is so different to the Eredivisie that I think you're taking a big risk. But they must be thinking that it's worth taking the risk.
What do you think the front three, I mean, we assume you're going to go 4-3-3. What is this front three going to look like? I mean, I presume Antony's going to be on the right.
On the right, he has to be, and you know, he knows Ten Hag and the way of playing very well.
Rashford or Martial through the middle if they don't get another
striker. And then Sancho on the left with Elanga as your...
your spare man.
Yeah, your second option that can play right or left a bit anywhere. And I think he's happy to be on the bench, happy to start, all of that. But if you've got a good Jadon Sancho, a good Martial up front that we saw in pre-season, for example, that I think they've been missing because he'd been injured at the start of the season, and then a good Antony on the right, this is a very good fluid front three. I think you need a lot of movement around Antony because 1v1 is very good, but then after that he needs option to get rid of the ball. But if you can get him hitting the ground running straight away, that he can be physically good for the Premier League, I think Antony can be a really good signing.
Cristiano did not start this game. Obviously he's been linked all summer. We all know the background to it. I was in Istanbul on Thursday, as you know.
Yeah.
I was in the lift with the sporting director, Hugo Viana, and I just kind of asked him, like, oh, yeah, so you're getting ready for Cristiano? He's like, no, he's not coming. Now, it's not a scoop. It's kind of a throwaway, jokey comment. But, of course, that's been what they've been saying all along.
Yeah.
So, assuming sporting Lisbon on one side, the buzz now is Napoli. This seems to be a deal that's been entirely created by George Mendes. The deal, as it's been reported in Italy, seems to me, like on paper, potentially a good deal for Napoli. 130 million, but it involves Victor Osimhen signing for Manchester United. Right. The idea is Manchester United pay 130 million euros for Victor Osimhen, taking their summer spending to several billion. Napoli get Cristiano Ronaldo, but Manchester United pay 85% of Cristiano's wages.
So Cristiano goes there on loan then?
I would be alone. Yeah. He's only got a year plus an option. Yeah. So whichever way you swing it. This seems like a deal that's made in Mendes.
Massive.
On those terms, it doesn't really make sense for United, does it?
I don't think so. Although Osimhen and we are big fans, I would love to see Osimhen at United with Ten Hag in the Premier League. That would work, but still paying 85% of Cristiano's 25 million net a year wages. Do you think that's a deal, realistically, that can happen? Or is it, one, it's too late because there's only a few days to go until Thursday, and it's too complicated, and United surely could say, this is not a good deal for us, kind of thing. Or even Napoli, I don't know.
I think those are great questions. So I don't think it's necessarily complicated in terms of making the figures work, because the most difficult figures are going to be the figures pertaining to Cristiano Ronaldo's salary, right?
Yeah.
Because Napoli can say, well, we only want to pay 15% of the salary, let's say, right? I think probably will be a little bit more, but 15% of Ronaldo's salary is still a big number, by the way. And then if United don't want to pay 85%, that's when Cristiano takes a step back and says, all right, fine, you know, I'll cut this much, right? It doesn't matter to Napoli whether United pays it or whether Cristiano takes a pay cut, right? So that part is pretty easy. Napoli are in the Champions League. I think that part's straightforward. So the question is, anyway, it's no coincidence. That part's straightforward because Cristiano's agent, Jorge Mendes, is putting this together, right? So then there's two separate questions. Is this a good deal for Napoli? I think 130 million, I think, is a fair price for Victor Osimhen.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you look at it purely from a numbers perspective, you say, yeah, this makes sense. They might not give me 130 million. You know, he had injuries last season, he had the mask, whatever. Yeah. I might not get this again, right? On the other hand, Cristiano Ronaldo for Victor Osimhen just simply blows up your team.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into who's better, who's worse, blah, blah, blah. They both score goals, but they're completely different players.
Yeah.
And they had something good going with, like, you know, Lozano was productive, Politano showed up, they've added Raspadori.
Yeah.
It does say, all right, how is Spalletti going to go and make this work? So they have to think about that too. They have to think about that because they're in the Champions League, because they want to be back in the Champions League next season. Is Cristiano going to necessarily help them do that? People are going to bring up, oh, the return, the image, blah, blah, blah. As we've said before many, many times, Cristiano Ronaldo knows his value. Jorge Mendes knows Cristiano Ronaldo's value. So it's not like when you sign Cristiano, all of a sudden you get all this extra money. You do get a ton more attention, and you can monetize that. And it's also nice because either United or Cristiano's pay cut will make up for that salary.
Yeah.
So financially, I think it may well make sense for Napoli. In terms of the playing style on the pitch, I think it makes very little sense, and you got to put a lot of faith in Spalletti.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And if I was Spalletti, I'm not sure I would be ready right now to. I mean, I don't know how much he can say yes or no anyway. And De Laurentiis might say, like, I don't care what you say, I'm doing the thing. Fair enough. But if you're Spalletti, you need to almost start from scratch again. Then if Cristiano arrives and you think, okay, maybe we have to play two up front. So him and Raspadori, what you do with the winger, suddenly it's all a complete different system, different style, different everything.
Yeah, him and Raspadori, by the way, not necessarily natural fit. Exactly. We've seen in the past, Cristiano, when he's played in the front two, it's been with somebody who's sort of a bigger, stronger, mobile type of center forward. From United's perspective, again, I think this is where it makes sense sporting-wise. I think Osimhen is a phenomenal striker.
Yeah.
I think he would settle in quite well in the Premier League. Completely. He seems ideally suited in many ways to Ten Hag's game.
Completely.
Where it doesn't make sense, perhaps, is and of course you move Cristiano out, which we heard from Duncan Castles, who is very close to the Mendes camp, and he laid out all the reasons why Cristiano wants to leave or may want to leave Manchester United. Yeah. So you move him out, and you're Ten Hag, you've got more freedom. The problem is the numbers. The numbers. This gets really, really expensive.
But we go back to the usual transfer strategy and recruitment policy, and why have you not targeted a number nine earlier in the summer, when, like an Osimhen?
Well, they targeted Marko Arnautovic, remember?
Yeah, exactly. But if you had gone for Osimhen on the 1st of July, for example, and you know, do things properly as a big club and put the money on the table, Osimhen might be your player now because it's still not new that you need a number nine, like a really, really, really good one, especially when Darwin has gone to Liverpool and Haaland has gone to City and Lewandowski has moved to Bayern, you know, and you'll be left behind with still Martial, who I love and he's my boy, and Marcus Rashford, who I'm not even sure is a number nine anyway. And now we're in this position where you're trying to scrap this deal or you've been offered this deal where, yeah, maybe you would take it, but it would cost you like an arm and a leg and a whole body.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because you go back, we have the sense of United as being this, you know, club that can pretty much print in money and they're always profitable and so on. And this would take the spending. I mean, if it is Antony and Osimhen, you're adding another quarter of a billion, right, to what you've already spent this summer. More than that, depending how much of Cristiano's salary you have to take on. Now, Richard Arnold, remember when he had his meeting in the pub with the fans? You know, he said, well, the money's always been there. They've always spent money, blah, blah, blah. They brought up a silly billion pound number. But he says, but the money might not always be there. Mm. And so I think that changes the dynamic a little bit because he's the one who has to sign off on this. And if, God forbid, they do this and they don't qualify for the Champions League, again, for example, you have the sponsorship deal, which gets reduced.
Yeah.
You have all sorts of things coming together, which I'm not sure that leaves them in a very good pace. It's also putting a lot of trust in Ten Hag, which, you know, you want to see happen, but you want these decisions to be shared out. That's why you have a high-profile director of football makes these decisions. And that's why, for me, one of the questions that I would ask, I hope Richard Arnold is asking, is if we wanted Osimhen, if we wanted a center forward, like you said, why did we wait all summer long to do this? Why did we ponce around with this silly, oh, fluid front three or whatever? Like, you know, we were always going to try to shift Cristiano. That was obvious, right?
Yeah.
So were we going to pretend that Cristiano was going to be our center forward? No.
No, completely. I agree with you completely. And I think that if you end up the transfer window with the summer with Malasia, Lisandro, Eriksen and Antony, is that a good
transfer?
Casemiro.
And Osimhen.
And Casemiro. Okay, I forgot Casemiro. Okay, Casemiro, I think, makes your team much, much, much better. There's no doubt. It makes your summer much better in terms of transfer recruitment. Although, again, there's still no strategy, but still. But is that enough? Or could you have easily added maybe a right back and a center forward or another midfielder? I don't know, something like that. I don't know.
It's always about resource allocation, right?
Yeah.
Could you have spent this money better? And I don't think, again, you can't shake this idea, the fact that all these guys, obviously Osimhen's not there yet, are either players that he has worked with before or he has played against or who played for Ajax or who he watched in TV with TV with Casemiro. This is the part that leaves you wondering, you know, for me, I don't want to criticize Mertens and Fletcher because, like, it's difficult because they have to. No,
I can.
Okay. But what I'm saying is their job isn't easy, right? They have to, as they love to say in this country, back Ten Hag, right? But at the same time, make decisions for the long-term well-being of Manchester United. Because otherwise, you know, they're just rubber stamping every move. It's a difficult balance when you don't have a lot of experience, when you haven't done this before. You have a new chief executive as well. It's interesting. We'll monitor this.
Yeah.
On Cristiano, obviously, Naples has a long history of loving its superstars going back to Diego Armando Maradona. He's not going to have an issue there in terms of the relationship with the fans or anything, is he?
No. Can you just imagine the reception? Because he would get an amazing reception. Of course, he will at the airport when he lands, if he lands. It's going to be crazy. And he would love that. And I think this is also what he wants. This is what he wants. You know, he wants people to show that love and that gratitude and that excitement and all of this, which I can understand completely. And I would love to see it in a way. I would love to see him. I would love to see him in Serie A. I would love to see him at Napoli with the fans, that stadium full, ready for Cristiano, anything you want. Just not sure it makes a lot of sense.
All right. On to Antony. A friend of mine who's very mean joked on social media that, oh, look, United just signed Ajax's third best forward, which is a bit mean, but probably not even unreal in terms of the production last season. Are you paying for what Antony can deliver in the future more than what he's delivered just now?
Yeah, you're overpaying. That we've agreed on that.
But I because think, yeah, you think you can get better. Not, yeah. Because what he's shown so far does not justify this. It's no, more like what not. You see and you think you can, he has an upside.
Yeah, completely. And he's 22. He will only be 23 in February, at the end of February. So he's young. Again, there's plenty of room for improvement in everything he can do. Skillfully, he's incredible. There's no doubt. And again, he knows Ten Hag so well. And for Ten Hag, it makes sense to have him there because he can close his eyes and will know exactly where to be the position. And you know the rest of the team around him is not on that level kind of thing. But apart from that, I've always watched him and said like, okay, this is great, but the end product was not always there.
No.
And I think that in the Premier League for a club like United, I think Ajax is fine. But in the Premier League with Manchester United, he will have to have more composure than what we've seen so far. But yeah, I think he can do it. I think he's a great signing. We don't want to diss him here for United fans to go like, oh, you're so negative about him. I think he's a really good potential signing, but I'm not sure how long it will take him to adapt.
Is there a parallel with when they signed Memphis?
There is a bit.
I was thinking Dutch coach, talented guy. And I mean, for me personally,
yeah, young but not ready. Memphis was not ready when he moved to United.
And I thought Memphis perhaps more talented than Antony when he moved.
Maybe, but different profile in the
different
sense
profile
that,
of
the bling
player.
Bling of Memphis, and I think Antony is a different personality too. So it could work, but it will have to click at some point. It could click very quickly, or it could take a bit of time to click. And again, I think fullbacks in the Premier League or defenders in general, very different than in the Eredivisie.
So obviously, Ten Hag's replacement, the Ajax manager, sure is not happy at all about this, about the way this came about with Antony sitting out, essentially threatening to go on strike to make this happen. We can all be cynics about this and say, well, that's what you need to do to force through the move. Ultimately, Ajax got their price. They pulled the trigger. I don't have an issue with this, right? It's suboptimal. It's not great that you go on strike to leave it out. You do have a contract. Yeah. Equally, though, if the club don't want to sell you at that price, they don't need to. And come September 1st, you're going to be back in the team because you're not going to sit out the rest of the season, right?
No. However, I think that Alfred Schroeder, and he can say anything he wants, it's all about the money or everything is about money. It's always about money. Yeah. I can't remember exactly the words. Edwin van der Sar, Ajax, must have been really naive if they thought that United would not come back for Antony and would not make an offer that Antony could not refuse and would push for that move to happen because the money is much better than what he earned at Ajax that he would ever earn there, that the league is much better, that the club is much bigger, that you know, well, and that is his old manager as well. You know, all of that. So if you Ajax, you really thought that United were just going to say, okay, see you later, we're going to sign Marcotti and Lawrence instead. I mean, come on. Surely they knew they were going to come back with better offers.
They did.
And they did. So,
and they're smart. And Van der Sar got what he wanted. But you know what? If Ajax don't play well this season, if the attack screws up and whatever, it's going to be Shores who loses his job, not Van der Sar. I think that's the reality.
Yeah, right?
They're different profiles. Van der Sar is this is a fair price for the player. Fine. All right, let's do this, right? Shores is the guy. All right, I prepared all season with Antony.
No,
now he's
true,
gone. You mentioned United, bigger club than Ajax. I can't resist. I'm sorry. I don't know why people come out and do this. It's almost like they want troll bait. Paul Scholes commenting on Antony wanting to leave, he referred to, he wants to join a proper football club.
Oh, God.
This is so many levels of wrong. Apart from the disrespect to Ajax, and, you know, Ajax is actually run by members, not by Glazers. Yeah. I don't understand what kind of bubble do some of these people live in if they think it's acceptable to speak like this.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't want, when I said bigger club, United are a bigger club worldwide.
No, of course, yes. And you make more money, yeah.
But you can't say that Ajax are not a proper club. I mean, this is so disrespectful.
I just think sometimes this speaks without thinking, maybe. That's the only pass I can give him, frankly, at this stage. But
just to finish on United, I just wanted to say something. And again, I'm completely biased. But the Varane-Lisandro Martinez partnership did really well against Liverpool in a game that I think they sat so deep that it was easier to defend, maybe, than in other games. They did very well against Southampton, albeit it's only Che Adams, Armstrong, and whatever the names that they have, you know, Sekou Mara and all of that.
I was going to say, like, in terms of the attack, like, you know, people are like, Lisandro played well, hats off. You know, I think there could be issues with his height. I don't think height is be all and end all.
Not me neither.
But equally, for people to say, "Oh, look at this," I'm like, "You're playing as freaking Shea Adams." Come
I know,
on,
I know, I know,
on,
I know. Man. But still, like, and again, I'm biased. But my Rafa Varane, the leadership, everything. My point, just quickly, why did Ten Hag didn't have the cojones to drop Maguire before the start of the season? Why did Maguire even start the season? Why?
Because he's the captain.
But we knew that was going to happen. There would be a disaster class at some point, and Varane was sat on the bench, where clearly the Lisandro Martinez Varane partnership is so much better than the Maguire Lisandro, or even the Maguire Varane partnership. So you wasted two games almost with mistakes all around your defense because Maguire was there, instead of just saying, "Hey, I'm the new coach here. This is my rules. I'm sorry, but you were club captain, but I don't think you're good enough. Here you go on the bench," instead of waiting for him to make a bunch of errors to say, like, "Okay, I'm dropping you now," because Maguire is not going to come back in the team unless there's an injury of either Lisandro or Varane, which might happen.
Given Varane's record, I'll say this in defense of Ten Hag, you have to keep Maguire on board, right? You know, let me give Maguire a shot. He's a captain. Let me see where I am with Maguire. Maguire plays badly. Maguire understands, "I played really badly. This guy replacing me is a World Cup winner." He is, I'm assuming, when Maguire looks in the mirror and looks at Varane, he says, "Varane is better than I am at pretty much everything, except maybe I have a larger head." but he's still going to be involved, because after that, it's him and Lindelof, right? And Phil Jones.
Yeah.
So realistically, you know, if you're Ten Hag, you want to keep Maguire. You want to be fair to Maguire. Give him a shot,
I guess.
And then there's going to be some type of rotation among center backs. There has to be, given the way this season's going to be.
Maybe.
Another final word on United, the goalkeeping situation.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so obviously we've had Dean Henderson leaving, unhappy, although, of course, he could be coming back. There's this bizarre Kevin Trapp story where they're so adamant they want Trapp and stuff. And now they're going for Dubravka. What are they thinking? What's the thinking here?
I can understand why you want a really good number two.
Right.
And I get that. And put pressure.
And you think the way to do that is to go to a Champions League team that won the Europa League last year in late August, and you say, "Hey, look, we're going to come. You're not a proper club, Eintracht Frankfurt. Let us go and get your keeper away. And it's going to be really easy because we're going to offer you so much money. You know, all you little indigent peasants can't say no."
Yeah. And you said to Kevin Trapp, "Hey, we really like your girlfriend. She's really good looking. And we like you as a goalkeeper. Come and be on the bench for the whole season.
Behind David De Gea."
Yeah. When you can play Champions League week in and week out. And hopefully for you, go to the World Cup with Germany. I mean, Dubravka makes a bit more sense because the guy is not playing at Newcastle.
Yeah, if you're going to sit behind Pope or sit behind De Gea, fine. That's fine.
You can get a pay rise with the move.
This Kevin, this Trapp thing really annoys me.
Me
because
too.
If you want to do that, do it earlier in the summer. You know what Dean Henderson is.
Yeah.
Right? You know he's not going to be happy to number two. You know he was going to move on. You want somebody who's better with his feet? Fine, go for Trapp early in the summer so that Eintracht can spin it as like, "Oh, guys, I won the Europa League with you. Now I'm going to my big challenge or whatever," to give them time to get a replacement. You know, this is how you do deals, not just rock up in late August and be like, "Oh, yeah, here, Eintracht." Yeah. You know.
And even for Trapp, I'm not sure it's a very respectful offer saying, "Hey, come and be on our bench if you want the whole season." You know, that's just not how it works.
Come join our proper club.
Exactly.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough United. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Real Madrid leave it late against Espanyol, but it's you-know-who scoring two late goals in a 3-1 win. Jules, he's not slowing down.
Kareem the Dream. Even in a game like that where I didn't think he was at his best completely. I mean, there was one goal disallowed. He came good at the end because this is a game that should have been a draw. Again, I don't think Real Madrid...
Should have been a draw?
Yeah, I don't think Real Madrid defended well the way Jose Lu scored that goal. I thought they looked a bit vulnerable defensively, and I'm not sure they... I don't think they created enough with the ball. Vinicius' goal, is really good, and Tchouaméni, I like his involvement in the goal and what he did with the ball. But yeah, Karim at the end, the two goals, the one on the Rodrigo cross is really clever, and then the free kick is lovely. So two more goals.
I like what Camavinga did when he came on. I thought he kind of really broke the game, as we like to say in Italy. Well done, Benzema. Our Norwegian colleague Jonas suggesting that maybe, you know, you call Karim the Dream, channeling 1980s NBA nicknames.
Yes, of course, yeah.
He suggested the mailman because he always delivers.
Nice.
Even on a Sunday.
Yeah, Karl Malone reference there. Juventus and Roma battled to a 1-1 draw on Saturday night. Gab, who should be the happiest?
I think, and I like to look at performance, not results, it's Max Allegri, because in the first half, Juve actually created a whole bunch of changes. Yeah. He started Miretti, finally, the right thing to do.
That midfield three worked well.
Miretti is really, really good. I never thought, 19 years old.
Yeah.
You don't see this at Juve. You see this at Ajax. You don't see this at Juve. Hopefully he sticks with him. Vlahovic got a great goal. Mourinho changed it around at halftime. He said in the first half he was embarrassed by his players' performance. And then they snatched the equalizer. Again, I think at this stage of the season, you look at performance. Juventus has shown, hey, guys, we can do this. Even without Pogba, even without Di Maria, we can play better. For Roma, they still need to, I think, find their balance a little bit, especially going forward. Sticking with these two clubs, Jules, the Rooster, Andrea Belotti, has joined Roma on a free transfer, and Leandro Paredes could soon be joining Juve. Which do you like better?
I like them both a lot. I have to say, I like the Belotti one because he would be the number, you know, the second option up front, you would think, as a replacement for Tammy Abraham, or sometimes they can play the two up front, and maybe you have a number 10 in behind, whether that Dybala or Zaniolo or whoever you want. But in the case, you have another option on your bench, which I think is good, even if he's maybe not the Belotti of that incredible season that he had with Torino at the time. But still, I think he's good. For Paredes, we said that midfield three worked well, Miretti, Locatelli and Rabiot. Paredes gives you, again, an extra option. You can sit in front of that defense. I've always liked Paredes. I know a PSG had more lows than highs, but I like him. I like the leadership. I like how tough he is. And he's a good passer of the ball. And he knows Serie A.
He does. It just kind of smacks a little bit of how, like, when you get fixated on things, like, we need Archer. Sure. We need Archer before that.
We need Pjanic.
We need Zakaria. I mean, come on, man. Then where are these people now?
But at 15 million, it's not a big, it's not a big buy. You know,
fair enough.
It could be good. Liverpool bounced back in the best possible way, Gab, from that defeat to Manchester United a week ago. 9-0 against Bournemouth.
You know the last time Liverpool won 9-0? You probably know this. Do you know who they played? Crystal Palace. You know who opened and closed the scoring for Liverpool? Stevie Nicol.
How about that? Wow.
Look, I think this was encouraging because all the people who played badly played well against United, played well here, you know, or scored. You know, Van Dijk, Alexander Arnold,
Luis Diaz.
Firmino, Luis Diaz. Obviously, it's a weird statistical quirk, that, and I feel sorry for anybody who has them in their fantasy team, that Mohamed Salah didn't get an assist or a goal. But this is exactly what you wanted for. Let's go and say it's only Bournemouth, but still, you got to score the goals.
Yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain dropped points for the first time this season at home to Monaco. Neymar gets a late equalizer.
Yeah.
But Jules, some might suggest he shouldn't even have been on the pitch.
Very nervous start.
Why?
I don't know.
Why does he think it's a good idea to go around and start body checking people and running into people?
He got yellow card after 5 minutes. I'm like, 5 minutes, man, come on, 5 minutes. Yeah, really, really nervous. I don't know why. I think the whole team was a little bit, and Monaco started so well, played so well for the first 35 minutes, opened the scoring and deservedly so, and then were so aggressive in midfield, and Kamara was great, and all of that. PSG took a really long time to get into the game. And I'm not even sure they deserved the draw, but in the end, they got a point. Neymar took the pen, Kylian Mbappe sort of like happily lend him the ball for the pen. So they didn't lose. I think that's the most important.
And they still hit the woodwork a bunch
of
times. Yeah,
like many times. Bayern also had a home gap against Borussia Mönchengladbach, who grabbed the point in Munich. Reason to be concerned, or just Jan Sommer was...
It was just Jan Sommer. It was just incredible. Jan Sommer, and then Dayot Upamecano making that mistake, which allowed Marcus to run through. Honestly, their expected goals was like 19 in this. They took a million shots on goal. Jan Sommer stood on his head. Well done, Jan Sommer, but no reason to panic. And by the way, I like the Matthijs de Ligt channeling his inner Daniel van Buyten and playing up front. I want to see that again.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million dollar stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules.
Manchester City again go two goals down before storming back to beat Palace 4-2 as Erling Haaland grabs a hat-trick. Jules, you want to nitpick about City conceding five goals in the last two games or simply celebrate Erling Haaland?
I just want to celebrate Haaland because defensively, if you give the number seven to João Cancelo, this is what happens. You concede goals. I'm kidding. I just don't like the number seven on him. But Haaland is just blowing my mind every time I watch him. And I just don't mean the goals. I watch everything when he doesn't touch the ball, but when he makes his runs, the movements, how heavy he's waiting on the opposition's defense, everything. But when I see him scoring that third goal and the way he controlled the ball, the running, the finishing, I'm just in absolutely love. Erling, I love you. I've loved you before. I will always love you. But right now, I love you a lot more than yesterday, but less than tomorrow, I'm sure.
I'll take the goals they gave up. Look, against Newcastle played really, really, really well. Against Palace, Palace's XG at the end of the game were 0.09. The two goals, one of them is that double ricochet weird own goal off Stones. The other one, they lost Anderson on the set piece. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Speaking of City, Pep Guardiola says that he's made it clear that Bernardo Silva is staying. About time, right, that they make that call?
Yeah, I'm not sure why I didn't make this clear before. Why, like, the weird language? I don't know. Doesn't matter. But, hey, Bernardo Silva staying. Good news City, and maybe good news for Barcelona's accountants as well.
Yeah.
Barcelona, they robbed a 4-0 win over Valladolid as Jules Koundé makes his debut at right back.
Yeah, right back.
Jules, they lived up to the hype. They were pretty sensational in this game.
They were very good. Very, very good, from Lewandowski to Dembele, Rafinha. Dembele and Lewandowski, by the way, the only two who've started every single La Liga game so far, so not part of that rotation with Ferran Torres, with Rafinha, with Ansu Fati, you know, all those players that they had. I like that Dembele had a standing ovation from the Camp Nou. He deserved it because he was, I thought, really, really amazing with the two assists that he gave. And this is taking shape. It's nice to see the midfield like that. Pedri's goal was something pretty cool too. So it's good. I'm waiting to see against tougher opposition than Valladolid. Of course, no offense to Ronaldo or, you know, all of that.
He wasn't playing.
But yeah, it's very encouraging for sure. Speaking of Koundé, Gab, he took personal guarantees from Barcelona directors to be able to register him in accordance with La Liga spending rules. Otherwise, he would have missed that game again. Is this a concern that they had to go down that route to register him?
Well, yeah, especially because, you know, if they don't fulfill the equipment, they become personally liable. So basically what they're saying is, oh, look, we're on the verge of selling somebody or renegotiating a salary. We will be able to meet the cap requirements. And if we don't, we'll hear some money from me. By the way, it's probably not John Laporte. John Laporte is not a wealthy man. It's probably one of the other directors who put up most of this money. I think to me it is a concern because if you're negotiating something, now, whoever you're negotiating with says, oh, look, I can get better terms because I know that you're going to be on the hook for the money. So you have to do this deal with me. I think they will get the deal done, whether it's renegotiation or maybe shifting Alba, possibly Depay, De Jong. You know, there are people they're going to do. But remember, too, there's still talk that they're right back short. Not a big, he's not a member of the Serginho Dest club, from what we can tell.
No, definitely.
Arsenal remained perfect in the Premier League after 2-1 victory over Fulham. Jules, your thoughts? And some felt they celebrated a little too much at the final whistle.
Don't get me started on over celebrating. I don't understand it. You win a game at the last minute. You knew it was going to be a tough game. You haven't played well and you still win. You celebrate. What's wrong with celebrating? It's at home with your crowd in a great atmosphere.
Who was it? Who criticized them for celebrating?
Was it a guy who used to work on British television and got sacked or something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
With hairy hands? Yes, that's him.
Hey, I thought they showed character, they showed resilience. They weren't necessarily great, but they were tough. A year ago, again, they lose this game.
Definitely. Tottenham are 2 points back after their 2-0 win away to Nottingham Forest. Gap. This game ended up being tight, maybe tighter than we thought.
It felt like a tight game, but then you look at it, and Forest took a ton of shots.
Yeah, but only one target was...
Most of them not, you know, except for the Yates header, not so much threatening. Spurs could have won 3-0 if Harry Kane had scored his penalty, which would have made it a hat trick. Son didn't play well again.
Yeah.
So if you can, you know, limit the opposition chances... You know, nearly score three goals, should have had three goals, despite your two best players, Son and Kane, not having a great game. You're sitting pretty.
Exactly.
Speaking of Spurs, Richarlison was wiped out by Brennan Johnson after some showboating, juggling. Jules, we've had this before with Neymar. Yeah. Before that, years ago, we used to have it with Kerlon, Fokinye.
Nani as well.
What's your take on the player's code?
Just don't do it. I mean, one, I'll say that to Richarlison. His showboating was rubbish. It was ugly. It looked like he could not even do keeping a piece. It was that bad. At least if you do it, do something a bit fancy that we've never seen before. Like
Neymar did.
Like Cristiano in the old days. Don't give me those crappy keeping a piece that you don't even look comfortable doing. It's August. He's doing it that now when they've just won away. It's not for me. I'm sorry.
I got to say, that happens though. I agree with you. You shouldn't be doing it.
Would you do the same as Brennan Johnson? Because I would.
Yeah, and if I was a referee, I'd send him off. I would send him off. I would send him off. You can't do that. There's other ways to respond.
Conor Gallagher gets sent off inside half an hour, but Chelsea still get a 2-1 win over Leicester at Stamford Bridge as Raheem Sterling scores twice. Gab, Tuchel said it was lucky.
Tuchel's correct. It was not a good performance. Like, you can spin it both ways. Oh, well, you know, they weren't great when it was 11-11, right?
Yeah.
Kai Havertz, right now, it's not working out for him. Mason Mount, I thought a poor game, substituted at halftime. Understandably, you're a man down. Take the points, move on. At some point, ask yourself, why are you in this situation? Tuchel has to be the guy working the way out of it. You're not going to solve the transfers. And still with Tuchel, he's getting help at the back. The Wesley Fofana deal looks all but done.
Yeah, Gav, it's true. We said that it would happen. I was always told that there was a lot of confidence, certainly in Fofana's camp. I saw him after the Arsenal game, and you could tell he was just not happy at Leicester. He really wanted to go. I think Leicester did their best to get as much money. And again, we talk about the 100 million mark, which is what this deal could be up to if all the bonuses have been triggered. It's a lot of money for Fofana, who's never played Champions League football, for example, who's still so young, never played international football either. I think he's an outstanding defender. I think he will improve the defense. I think you can have him potentially for 10 years. But I can understand that it's a lot of money and it's really late in the transfer window too. But yeah, the deal will happen. And I'm happy for Wesley because he really wanted that move. He wanted to work with Tuchel and Chelsea.
I guess it means that a back three is the base formation now for Chelsea.
For sure. Milan beat Bologna 2-0 and it's the prince, Charles de Ketelaere, who shines.
This guy looks so smooth. He's big, he's blonde, he's handsome, he spreads the ball around. He sets up Rafael Leao for the opener. He can play just about any position, but they're using him as a 10. He costs a lot of money. So far, it looks like it's been worth it. And I think Milan are in a situation right now where they've got so many options. They can use so many different ways. They maintain the same intensity as before. Your boy Olivier Giroud getting in the score.
Yeah, lovely goal as well.
As well. It's all good. They're top of the table. And it's the derby coming up next week. And Lukaku's injured for Inter. Anthony Modeste gets the winner for Borussia Dortmund away to Hertha Duels, despite the chaos. They're 1 point off the top. We should be saying, right? Yep. Up near. So we just want to get this out of the way because our producer, Freddie Arrington, big Union Berlin fan. He's so proud. Right. He showed me his new book about Union Berlin called Scheiße, which means Dreck, basically in German. Anyway, they're right up there, right?
They're right up there. It's okay. Yeah. And you're right. And despite the chaos, with a lot of room for improvement, progression possible, I guess, they would get better. And Modeste was better. This was his best game since he joined the club. He had another two or three good chances. He could have scored more. They played a bit better with the ball, I thought. Defensively, they're still fragile, and Kobel had to be really good in goal again, I thought. And Hertha are not a very good team. But a bit like what we said for Chelsea, you take the points. I think this is the right step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction, sorry, for them. So you take that. But with the players they have, and I know they are unbalanced in that squad, especially in midfield, she still do better than
you mentioned the midfield. That guy, Ozkan, I think it is, who set up the goal and stuff. I think he just came from Cologne.
Yeah.
I think he's going to help with the balance. And if it means sacrificing somebody in midfield,
Yeah. He finishes 0-0 between Fiorentina and Napoli. But Gab, we saw a very angry Luciano Spalletti getting into it with a fan after the game.
I thought this was a really good game, actually. Mm. And Napoli, of course, dropping points after, they scored a ton of goals in their first two games, now slowing down a little. Fiorentina, a good side, although Jovic still needs to settle. That said, I was struck by this at the end. There was some idiot, behind the bench who was just shouting at Spalletti the entire game. And Spalletti went and got into his face after the final whistle. It was unclear what was going on. He later had a bottle thrown at him. Now, Florence is an unusual place. And I want to point out, these aren't ultras. This man, he looked who was shouting at him and got into his face, and at one point looked like he was going to hit Spalletti. He's some dude in his 40s. And Spalletti said, he was insulting my mom, who's 90 years old, and she doesn't deserve it, blah, blah, blah. This idea that you can pay your ticket, and you can do whatever you want, it has consequences to some degree. And I think you got to face up to it.
Definitely.
This guy's face, I don't know who he is because the clip's gone viral, right?
Yeah.
It's all over the news. I'm sure that this guy has, maybe he has a mom himself.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got kids. Maybe he has an employer. People say, let's not have summary justice. There is no reason why you should be behaving like that during a game at 40 years of age.
That's right.
Targeting one individual the whole time. Yeah. This is not an ultras thing.
It's not okay, for sure.
Let's name and shame. Yeah. I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
Huge win for Marseille away to Nice in the derby. Jules, you want to praise Alexis Sanchez or worry about Lucien Favre?
Both. I've said again, I'm not sold at all on Lucien Favre coming back to Nice. They've been dreadful so far. I know they made it to the Europa Conference League just about, really, really just about, against Maccabi. And it took an amazing goal from Beka to score. But there was nothing in the game. To win, and there was nothing in the game. I'm very disappointed by what Favre has been doing, and maybe he needs a bit of time because, he's a teacher and he's this and that. I don't believe in him whatsoever and what Nice could do with him. However, this was Marseille's best performance since Tudor arrived, and Alexis was amazing, two goals. Nuno Tavares, the Arsenal loanee, scored again as well, but Marseille plays with so much intensity. I love the pace of their game. I love the lot of the
things. Is Tudor winning people over a little bit?
Yeah, I think he is. But again, I think, and it's not me taking anything away from Tudor and Marseille, but Nice is so bad that I think that's helped them massively.
So did United kind of dodge a bullet with the Nice owner? I'm blanking on his name now.
Sir Jim Ratcliffe? I think he's still waiting to hear from them, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just as a minority shareholder. So we'll see what happens. But I would have never bought Favre back in. I'm making that clear. I hope for them that things get better, but it's not my cup of tea.
A word on Tudor. Obviously, he got into it with the fans. He got into it with players. People didn't like him. He brought in Mauro Camoranesi. Somebody told me the whole story. His assistant.
For a week.
Yeah, and then Mauro Camoranesi, then they nearly get into a fist fight.
Yeah.
And crazy. Tudor, by the way, is about twice the size of Camoranesi, but Camoranesi has that Argentine garra.
Exactly.
It's pretty wild stuff, right?
It is. Valencia hosts Atletico Madrid on Monday night in a few hours, but Gab helped appears to be on its way in the form of Edinson Cavani. How much does he move the needle for Reino Gattuso?
If he's fit, if he's happy, scored goals for Uruguay in World Cup qualifying, I think he's thinking about the World Cup as well. But they really have a big Uruguayan striker who's prolific in Maxi.
Yeah.
And they have the wonderfully named and very handsome Hugo Duro as well. I would have thought they would have had other priorities, but Cavani's not going to hurt. He's a good pro. If he stays fit, he'll chip in, right?
I agree.
Meanwhile, Jules, a nightmare start for Sevilla as they lose to Almeria 2-1. Plenty going wrong for Julen Lopetegui.
I mean, I thought they were terrible in that game. The way they defended on both goals, and we've seen...
You'd almost think they sold both their centre-backs.
Yeah, I know, but you've replaced them. And when we did a video with Rodri Fires after the Champions League draw, and we mentioned Sevilla, and we said that we wanted to blame Monchi, and he blamed Lopetegui more. I blame them both. I think Lopetegui has made some bad decisions so far this season, but Monchi has let him down by recruiting Marcao and Tanguy Kouassi, who I think would be very good, but to replace Koundé and Diego Carlos, I mean, like, come on. Come on, man. But they're bad defensively, they're bad offensively, despite opening the scoring with Oliver. Great header, but that was a goal, like, it was a cross for no one, really, that Oliver managed to go with the header.
So. Wait, you don't think Julen personally went and picked out Tanguy Kouassi? You know, you don't.
And Marcao at Galatasaray? No, I don't think so.
Well, Marcao, I'm assuming there's some sort of agent, like,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I would think so, too, but, you know. Bayer Leverkusen and our boy Geraldo
Rico
Suave win the first game of the season finally away at Mainz, and it appears that Callum Hudson-Odoi, as we mentioned on the last show, is on his way too. Gab, is that a good deal?
I think it's a great deal for Hudson-Odoi because obviously he's on the, you know, in the naughty step or the forgotten step, at Chelsea. For Leverkusen, you have another pacey, attack-minded winger, and, you know, with the pieces around him, you can do something if you start playing better.
There's a point, you can't play all those attacking wingers and all attacking players, though. You need those people to defend and play well in midfield, because they will be lucky in that game against Mainz as well.
No question about that, but ultimately, though, he's another body in the mix.
Sure.
And he's, you know, obviously, he's not going to be their best winger, but he could be their second best winger, right, after Diaby. So, you know, and... He's had a weird... Germans, for some reason, have a thing for Hudson-Odoi. Remember, he was so strongly linked to Bayern Munich a few years ago? I think it's good. I want to see the guy relaunch his career.
Me too.
West Ham win away to Aston Villa thanks to a deflected Pablo Fernandes goal. Jules, the screws are turning on Stevie G.
Yeah, I thought that was a poor game. Even if Villa played better in the first half than West Ham, and then Moyes changed at halftime, but Stevie didn't do a halftime anything, and certainly not even through the second half, until later. I don't know. I'm skeptical about. I don't know what Steven Gerrard is trying to do here. I thought we saw good things last season, but this season is very, very average. Not that I think that West Ham are much better, because I still don't think that David Moyes can change the way this team play, and I don't think this is going to work anymore. So we'll have to see. And speaking of West Ham, Gab, Amazon delivered a new packet.
Not just a new packet. The packet. Lucas Paqueta on his way over.
Unless you watch that game on Sunday and doesn't want to come
in. No, I want to go back. Like, you know my thoughts on Paqueta. I know he did well. I know he has his moments. I wouldn't have thought the Premier League is the place for him unless you have a team that's kind of built around him.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure Moyes needs necessarily or wants to build
a team
around Paqueta.
They need creativity, though. They need creativity.
They need creativity, yes. It's the Lanzini hole, as we like to call it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, on paper, with Rice and Suchek behind Paqueta, that's pretty tasty, right? A bit of Bowen, you know, some
players. They need to change the way they play. I tweeted down at the weekend, you can't play like that with Paqueta because he needs the lot of the ball. And you're right, he needs to be the team play for him. And if they're not ready to die, and if Moyes doesn't change, it's not going to work.
And by the way, Scamacca too. Like, he's not a counterattacking forward.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Christopher Nkunku scores early and scores late as Leipzig cruise to their first win of the season, 2-0 over Wolfsburg. Normal service resuming, Jules.
Oh, I love watching him play like this. I just think, as you know, he's so good. I'm such a fan. And he carried that team last season. He's carrying this team. And I think this is really good. I cannot wait to see them later through the season. I think there can be something really good there. Atletico Madrid sell Renan Lodi to Nottingham Forest and get Sergio Reguilon on loan from Spurs. Gab, do they come out ahead of this one? Have they won this one?
Nottingham Forest, I think, he's their 37th signing of the summer.
40th.
They come out ahead because they're getting 30 million back for Lodi, and you can have Reguilon for a season. And it's the classic thing where if Reguilon does well, you go to Spurs and you keep him, and Spurs say, "Oh, we want you to pay this much." And then, you've heard Atletico Madrid, you go, "We're only giving you this much." And then, likely with Conte, they're going to say, "I don't want him back. I got Perisic. I got Ryan. I've turned Ryan Sessegnon into a player in the meantime. I don't need this guy back." So smart. Atletico Madrid. Lodi, I think he's a good player. I think he was unfairly criticized at times last season. And I think in the back three, I think he can be effective for Forest.
Yeah, maybe.
Jules, I was moved by this.
Oh.
World Cup winner Samuel Umtiti tears when he's unveiled in Lecce at the airport.
Yeah, when he arrived, all the incredible reception, the fans singing his name. I think because he got so much crap at Barcelona in the last few years and people hating on him because he was either injured or didn't want to leave the club or anything like that, for him to see a bit of love and to finally think that he would be able to play football, I think it was really good, and I was moved as well, like you. I think this is a lovely, lovely scene.
He took that crazy contract extension, so basically, like, was it like the 1 year, 2 years he had left are now spread out forever, but it's going to be a much smaller number. If he plays well for Lecce, again, maybe it can become a permanent move there somewhere else if he proves his fitness. You do feel bad because he's been very unlucky.
Yeah, but I like the way that he took that call and that chance to go to Lecce, promote Italian Serie A. It's not going to be easy for him. But let's hope that he has a good season. We really want to see that. Milan continue to pick up young talent. Malik Thiaw should be confirmed very soon from Schalke. And Astor Vranckx is on his way from Wolfsburg as well.
Yeah, I have
Small signings.
I have to confess, I think I've seen Malik Thiaw once with the German under-21s. Vranckx, I saw a little bit. One's 19 in a defensive midfielder. The other one's another center backs. Their numbers look good. Schalke, obviously, in the second flight last year. I put this in because I'm highlighting this is Milan's MO now.
The policy, yeah.
This is their policy. This is what they do. Obviously, Ibra and Giroud aside, it is young players. And you know what? It hasn't been that hard to sell the fans on it if you win. You know, there was a while at first, like, oh, what are we going to do with Kalulu? No, we don't want Kalulu. Yeah. We need, give Romagnoli a new deal, blah, 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 go and sign this guy. No. If you have people who know what they're doing, even if you have as many misses as you have hits, you will come out ahead if you invest in proven young talent. Milan have some money to spend, so it's not like they're getting these guys on freeze. It's not like they're unearthing gems. They're taking advantage of situations with, contracts where maybe have 1 or 2 years left, and they're giving them a big spotlight. As a business plan, this works great.
Yeah, I agree.
Ander Herrera returns home to Athletic Bilbao. Jules, we love these homecomings. And there's no scary Bois de Boulogne in Bilbao, so it should be okay, yeah?
It should be okay. PSG wanted to get rid of him, and they did. They found a way somehow with that loan with an option to buy. I mean, not that he was a bad player. It was just not good enough, I think, for what they wanted to do now and even in the past. So good luck to him going back home. I hope it works out well for him. And you're right, nobody belongs, so he won't get his wallet stolen again.
By people getting into his car
reason. Exactly, Things I didn't expect to be saying, but Harry Winks is close to joining Sampdoria on loan. I've got just one question for you. Why? Why?
It's also, Sampdoria are pretty terrible, the draw with Juve notwithstanding. I'm assuming he's going to see a lot of... Look, he's going to experience something different. He's going to see a lot of the ball. Within the context of Samp, he's not going to be a terrible player. In fact, he's going to be a good player. And I think he'll grow professionally. I have no issue with it. And from Spurs, in the past, we've always said, like, oh, English players, they don't go abroad. They're so close-minded. They'd rather sit on the bench. This guy's going abroad.
Yeah, that's good. That's good for him.
Harry Winks played for England. And it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, really?
Or was it an England squad? He was,
no, I was kidding you. He was.
Remember your boy Poch used to call him the little Iniesta?
No. Which was weird, please, too. Because... No, this is hurting my ears. This is hurting my ears.
No, I can't let Poch. I love Poch, but I can't get away with it. When he called him the little Iniesta, when Winks is like 4 inches taller than Iniesta.
It's hurting my ears.
Oh, but... Paris Saint-Germain's transfer window not done. Fabian Ruiz reportedly on his way, but Keylor Navas staying put. Are you surprised, Jules?
Not by Fabian Ruiz's arrival, because it was in the making. It's just taken a long time, I think, than the club expected, and the negotiations were quite tough considering he only has 1 year left on his contract at Napoli. More for the Keylor Navas, because I really thought that he wanted to go. He was happy to go. It's a big club. It's a Champions League club. All of that. He got that injury, and maybe that kind of put Napoli off a little bit in the last 2 weeks. I don't know exactly yet the inside story of why he might stay, or why right now he's looking more like he would be staying, because we talked about earlier United and having two really good keepers. I think Navas is too good to be on the bench for the whole season, and Donnarumma is the number 1-9. That's not going to change apart from an injury. So I don't know. I'm a bit surprised by Navas, not by Fabian Ruiz.
I think Meret, by the way, just from the Napoli angle, is a very good goalkeeper. Yeah. Luciano Spalletti does not think so. People in Naples think that he's not shouty and commanding enough, and they say that you need a big personality, especially with Koulibaly gone as a defensive leader. Yeah, Navas obviously gives you that.
Yeah.
How could it be? Keylor and Cristiano reunited. At the Stadio Maradona, the Gulf of Naples under Mount Vesuvius.
We want to see that happen. He's not just Liverpool winning 9-0, Gab. How about Ange Postecoglou's Celtic?
What do you want me to say about Ange? I was privileged to spend time with him and interview him when he came here. He's one of the good guys. I am not qualified to discuss Dundee United or away. Dundee, whichever one of those two they beat away. I'm sorry, I don't follow. Dundee United, by the way, before we joke a little bit too much, respect, European Cup semifinalists.
Of course.
Back in the day when they were set up that stuff like this could happen. I think it's a lot of goals. From what I'm told, he's doing a good job.
Very good.
I'm going to use this little digression to mention that when I was in Istanbul for the draw, I took this ridiculously early morning bus with this guy who's the chief financial officer for Celtic. And he was telling me what I kind of already knew, that one Champions League game is worth more than what they earn. Is worth nearly as much as what they earn all season long
in the
SPL. Wow. And I just think about those economics a little bit. And we got to come to some resolution here. Jules, this story is weird, sad, and filled with legal implications, so I'll let you handle the tale of the Pogba family feud.
Yeah, Gab, it's a really crazy and sad story. As you said, on Saturday night, we saw on social media Matthias Pogba, so one of the two twins, older brothers of Paul, putting out a video in four languages, in French, Spanish, English, and Italian.
Polyglot,
saying that he was going to make some revelation about Paul so then people can decide if he was worth of all the admiration and respect and place in the national team, because clearly the revelation would be quite big and Paul would not be the guy that we all think he is, that kind of stuff.
Implication here is that the revelations are going to be negative. It's not like he's going to Paul's pledged to give his liver to charity or whatever, right?
Definitely not. There's Rafaela Pimienta, who's Pogba's lawyer, who's Mino Raiola's team before, now the main agent, threatened to reveal stuff about her as well, and even Kylian Mbappe. That was Saturday night. On Sunday morning, we got a statement from Paul Pogba and his mother and Rafaela saying that this is not a surprise, because a month ago, they went to the police because of an attempt of extortion towards Paul Pogba, made, they believe, by Matthias Pogba and some of his friends. And turn out, there's reports in France saying that some guys with balaclavas and weapons turn up at Paul Pogba's house in Turin, at the Juventus training ground as well, to ask Pogba for some money and things like that. And that Pogba recognizes his brother or something. So this is crazy. There's an investigation both in France and in Italy about it, about the involvement of the Pogba brother, Paul himself, and all the repercussions that can have. And I guess the police will have to do their job now, but it's really, really sad.
He needs this, like, he needs a hole in the head of this. And it's
crazy.
I thought they were, I mean,
they were really close. I saw them together in March.
And the other brother, Florentin, we don't quite know where he is in this, right?
No, because he's not part of the Paul Pogba statement and clearly was not involved by his twin brother, Matthias, in the first video. Right. So he's been quiet.
We don't know where he, which side of the Pogba
exactly,
family is on.
Exactly. So much for the post-COVID effect, Gab. Premier League spending is approaching $2 billion this transfer window, and we still have a few days left.
Yeah, and even more significant, the net spend. I looked at the numbers a couple of days ago. Obviously, we'll have final numbers once everything closes. Yeah. But the net spend in the Premier League was over €1 billion, so you know, around about $1.1 billion. The net spend combined in Liga, La Liga, Serie A, and the Bundesliga was something like $150 million.
I mean, that's crazy.
The imbalance here is just. It's just striking. And I think it's a function of what a commercial juggernaut the Premier League is relative to others. And I think also maybe some clubs' willingness to spend and risk and roll the dice is a little bit higher right now in England. Jules, that brings us to an end.
Already.
You know what? We had so much fun. Back together again. We're going to be back on Thursday. We've got midweek football, of course, in the Premier League in Serie A. We've got cup football in Germany. Der Pokal.
And the transfer window closing in, pretty much.
And the transfer window, of course, coming to an end, though. No, they'll still be open when we do the show, which will be fun, but still.
Another few hours.
Until then, love the game. Love your neighbor. Love yourself.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.